I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and today our topic is part of a celebration of the America Out Loud Radio Network, which is 4 years old. You know, the blasting voice of free speech has been part of our lives now for 4 beautiful years. And one of the things that I would like to talk about is the value of free speech to a free nation. Now, any of you who listen to Chasing Justice know that I like to have fun. I like to relax. Sometimes I take things very seriously. I try to think through my points of view and be clear on what it is I think and believe. Well, the whole idea of free speech and the wonderful gift it is to be a part of the America Out Loud Radio Network is something that I don't take for granted. You know, I've said many, many times on many different places that I understand the blessing that I have to have a voice that can come across to you all across the nation and really around the world here on America Out Loud. Our platform really covers everything 24/7. It is an amazing tribute to free speech and what that means. And that's what got me started. You know, the value of free speech to a free nation. You know, we're gonna cover some of those topics. I have some great quotes from some of our forefathers. We have some modern examples of free speech or the lack thereof. And I think we could take this time together today to really reflect on the benefits that we all have because of free speech. And that refers me to an article that I wrote that should be on the AmericaOutLoud.com platform. And it's called the same thing, The Value of Free Speech to a Free Nation. And in there, I'm trying to connect the dots between historical perspectives on free speech, not just for America, but for all of humanity, and where I think this all stems from and the value I think it actually has to each and every human being on this planet, but especially to us here in America. So that's what we're going to do. I would like to congratulate everybody at America Out Loud for 4 tremendous years of great radio. You know, I've been a fan of radio. Jeez, I cannot think back when I was a teenager, and I loved rock and roll. I loved music. I played guitar. I did all that good stuff. But I have to tell you, I always loved talk radio. There was just something about the connection between the host or the hostess, whoever it was that was talking. If you liked them, if you kind of liked their point of view, then listening to what they had to say helped you clarify what you thought about things. I know it did for me. And I remember some of the greats, you know, back in the day, you know, Bob Grant, you know, as controversial as a figure as he was also a tremendous person for free speech. And he let it loose. He didn't hold back. He told the truth. He was a brilliant man. He left us a while ago. But what a legacy of talk radio he left. I listened to him on ABC in New Jersey. And I loved Bob Grant. He was great. Of course, everybody loves, you know, Uncle Rush Limbaugh. You know, we all love Rush. And then there's so many great hosts here on America Out Loud. You know, I think of the great Malcolm Out Loud. You know, and this is something that I've gotten to know him over the course of time. And his commitment to free speech is complete and 100%. You know, sometimes people will listen and they'll say to me, Joe, are you one of them kind of hosts that they tell you what to say? You know, you'll be the conservative guy. And this, that has never, ever been the case since day one that I met Malcolm. And he said, listen, this is the platform we have. The platform here is about ideas and putting out real opinion, real conversation. You know, do not hold back. Say what you think and believe, no matter what it is. And we will deal with it as it goes. And that has been such a freedom for me and such a blessing to be a part of this network and to have all of you out there. You know, whether you're regular listeners to Chasing Justice, which is on every weekday at 3 o'clock, or whether you're here for this special on freedom of speech. And Malcolm, thank you very much. And thank you to everybody else on this station who's been so kind to me and so good, and allow us to make some, I think, some pretty good programs. You know, the guys in the neighborhood, they love free speech, and they understand the blessings of this also. So there's my tribute to America Out Loud. Happy fourth birthday, and I hope you have 100 more, because freedom of speech is the basis of all of our other rights. And that's really the topic of the article that should be up on the platform, because I tried to boil it down. What was it that I saw as the greatest value of free speech? Now, of course, everyone wants to speak their mind. Have we always been able to do that as human beings? You know, my premise is that humanity, the default position of humanity, is to live under tyranny. And I say that because if you look at the historical record of our human existence, there's always been the strong man, the one who controlled the people, usually through fear and intimidation, had a bigger army, bigger knife, bigger gun, bigger bomb, you know, as we move right through the historical sections of humanity. And it's very, very few places where you saw a despotic leader who was a good leader. You know, I guess there were some kings over the years that were considered good leaders. I could certainly look and say, you know, from a religious point of view, you know, Jesus and his church is the greatest ruler of all. But other than that, you know, if you're going to cut yourself short of being God, then you have to look at the default position of humanity is to always buckle under to tyranny. I feel that here in our country, in the United States, we have 200 plus years of fighting that trend, but that the demon of tyranny is always knocking at our door. It is always out there somewhere looking to take us over, to change us, to put us back under the thumb of tyranny. And it's the one thing that prevents that is free speech. So that's kind of really the whole idea of where I want to go with this. What value does free speech have? Could we have gotten here without free speech? Say we had all of our other rights, but we didn't have free speech. Could we have created the nation we did? And I think the answer to that, which helped me to start off with why I think free speech is the basic tool of freedom for all of humanity, is that without that ability to express yourself, without the ability to voice your ideas, good or bad, popular or unpopular, without your ability to voice those ideas, you cannot get to any of the other rights. Okay, so one of the definitions we have to look at, you know, freedom of speech, what is that? It is the ability to express yourself verbally as in action. You know, in our country, our courts have determined that some actions are also freedom of speech. So burning a flag, for example. As abhorrent as I find burning an American flag, the courts have said that it is an expression. It is a freedom of speech. And this is where I think my generation and most previous generations kind of understood that fine line that, yes, freedom of speech is not just about speech we agree with or speech that we applaud. It's really about any speech, including speech we disagree with, we find distasteful, and we don't like. Everyone has the opportunity to voice their opinion on many, many topics, and you don't have to listen. See, that's the beauty. If somebody stands up on the soapbox and starts saying things that you find offensive, that offend you personally, that maybe trigger you and you can't function, you know what you could do? You could walk away. You don't shut the person down. The idea of free speech is that all ideas can come out into the public domain and the public can talk about them. And that allows us to make big decisions and it allows us to move our society forward. So that definition of free speech that our founding fathers codified into the Constitution is really expressive in the way of doing things as well as in the words that we use and the things that we say. So one of the things I like to do is look back. You know, let's go back for a few minutes and try and figure out how did we get to that point in 1776 when freedom of speech led to the revolution that really rocked the world? You know, what happened there? Prior to that, you had what, kings? You had despots, you had tyrants, you had dictators who basically set up all the rules. And the rules were set up specifically to keep the king, the dictator, and the despot in power, and the people to be controlled. That was the purpose. If you were to stand up and say, you know, back in the day, you would stand up and say, "We want more food, there, king," or "Hey, despot, we need more water," or "We need more land. We want to hunt your deer." That wouldn't be a really wise thing to say, because the idea of voicing that opinion would probably result in you being dispatched rather quickly, because dissent, in essence, comes from free speech, does it not? So if I don't like something the king is doing, I can wave my hands up and down. I could write a letter, I suppose, that I don't like certain things. But really, the best way for me to tell everyone what I feel and think would be to stand up and say, "Hey, king, I think you're wrong." Now, we all know historically how that usually worked out for the person who voiced themselves that way. Free speech was something that, because of the power in free speech, the king was afraid of it, as all despots are. And you look at that, one of the first things they want to do when they take over a place, whether it's historical back in the day or even in our modern world, is they shut down the free press. They shut down the ability of the people to gather and voice their opinions, because there is power in words. There is power in ideas. And that power is only realized when those ideas are expressed and people can talk about them and people can consider them and either take them, build on them, take away from them, get rid of them, get new ideas. The power of speech is what ignites every other right that we have. Now, to be sure, our rights do come from God. There's no doubt about it. The natural world, the natural law, in my belief, and this is, again, this is Lieutenant Joe's belief here, is that God created all this and put us here all for a purpose, and we have the right to express ourselves. We have a right to do right. We have a right to do wrong. You know, isn't that the whole freedom of expression kind of thing? At its essence, is that we can choose to be good people or we can choose to be bad people. And how we go about that is often revealed in how we express ourselves, the ideas we come up with to ignite a movement or to shut down a movement. So freedom of speech historically was not something that the leader would want the people to have, because it is in those conversations that people have it publicly very often that would empower the people to realize, hey, I'm not alone here. So if we go back to my example of somebody who wanted more for their family, and they were to stand up and say, "Hey, king, we want more," that would probably be the end of that person. But if the people had the ability to express an idea at a town hall meeting, you know, the king has all them deer over there and we're all hungry. I think we should go to the king and express ourselves, that all of us people, the subjects, you know, the thousands and thousands of us that are more than him and his guards, we really want to be able to go out and hunt on his land so that we can have more food for our family. And matter of fact, we would like a little more land. You know, those millions of acres he has, we would like some of them. Not all of them. We don't want to take it away. He's the king. But we would like some of those acreages there so we can get a homestead and provide for our family. And you know what? Other people would probably say the same thing. Other people would probably be saying, you know, I was thinking the same thing. But we know through course of human action that just because someone has an idea, it requires a great deal of courage and fortitude to stand up and voice your opinion, especially if you feel you're alone in the face of negativity. So if we look historically, the face of negativity would be the king's guard with them big old swords that when you speak up, they want to run you through. But if all of you stood up and said, "Hey, king, guess what? We need to talk about this." At that point, that idea would take on a life of its own. That idea would have power because it's connected to words. So when one person would stand up and say, "King, we need more water and land," and then everyone stands up in the room and says, "Hey, king, we all agree. We need more room. We need more water. We need more food." Now that idea has taken on a life of its own. It has grown from a concept through expression of speech and writing between people, and it has grown into a powerful entity all of its own. You know, some ideas you cannot put back in the box. You know, once they're out there, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, whatever example term you want to use, that is how freedom of speech is. And that is why despotic rulers, tyrannical rulers over the years have tried to silence free speech. You know, remove people who have things to say that are different than what the leadership has to say. Because those ideas spoken and expressed, even by an individual, can grow into great, great, powerful things that change the paradigm of whatever time in human history there is, whether it be then or even today. And our country is replete with examples of how free speech has shaped not only the birth of our nation, but the continuing evolution of our nation and our people and how we interact with each other. You know, when I look at these examples, I say it's clear that without the freedom of speech, we could have nothing else in the way of our rights. So that's my point where I try to get to there. So I try to come up with an example. And if I said my idea was that, I think I should have the ability to keep and bear arms, not just so that I can go hunting and shoot a deer, as our governor of New York likes to tell us, but if I felt that I wanted to have a gun to protect my family from intruders, from people who would do us harm, the government included, I should be able to protect my family and myself from whoever would do us harm. And if I am not able to express myself openly, honestly, and clearly through the vehicle of free speech, that I cannot stand in front of the crowd of my brother and sister citizens and say, listen, I think we have to have the right to keep and bear these arms, not just to hunt a deer. That's something we can do with that. That's a tool then for survival. But I think the idea, the concept of having these weapons are to protect ourselves from those who would hurt us, government included. And people would stand and say, hey, what a great idea. You're right. We should be able to do that. And again, that idea grows once it's expressed and it grows into a movement. And in our case, you know, we have the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution of the United States by our founding fathers who saw the power in that, who they themselves had to fight the power that was trying to repress them, hold them down, and destroy them. The only way they did it was the ability to protect themselves with weapons. So while this is not about the Second Amendment, it clearly demonstrates that without freedom of speech and the First Amendment, the Second Amendment and all the other amendments would not be possible. So the other danger of lack of free speech is that what if the person who I am pleading my case to has power over me? What if that person has the ability to somehow or other jail me, kill me, whatever, for my ideas? Do I then want to stand up and express myself completely, openly, and honestly about I think we should have weapons to fight the power? No, that would be kind of foolish on their part to allow such a thing. So I might change my ideas. Now you have the idea that the person who's going to write the law or codify the law, who's controlling my free speech, they can interpret it themselves. Maybe they interpret it that, yeah, all I do need is a shotgun for hunting deer. Because you know what? We got police and armies. So you don't need to worry about protecting yourself. We're going to take care of that for you. So you don't need that Second Amendment right. Without that ability, that free speech ability to stand up and voice myself clearly and honestly and give my true beliefs, it's only in that ability that that power is released to me, the individual, so that I can do what I need to do and I can use my God-given rights. And freedom of speech is what gives that to me. So that's where we're going to end this first little segment, but I will be back in a minute as we continue to explore the value of free speech to a free nation.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and welcome back to this special edition, Freedom of Speech, and our topic here, the value of freedom of speech to a free nation. Well, we left off in the first segment where I was trying to make a case that free speech is the essence and the foundation of every other right, because free speech is about ideas, right? Expressing an idea. If you started a business at some point in your life, that was an idea you had, and then you expressed it through getting a business license and going out and performing a service. If you ever fallen in love with whoever you've fallen in love with, you see this person, for whatever reason you're attracted, you like them, they're smart, they're funny, they're nice, they're the kind of person you like, and you engage in a conversation. Now, that conversation, if it was scripted, if that conversation was controlled, as in many cultures across our planet, where there are, what do they call them, predestined marriages, or they're set up in advance. You know, you're from this family, so you're going to marry that person no matter who you are. I can only imagine that that conversation is really repressive to love, which is not to say that some people who are in, predetermined marriages, or arranged marriages, I guess that's the term, that they're in arranged marriages, that they don't sometimes find love. Because we know if we're with somebody for a long time and we get along, it can turn into love. But that expression in that initial meeting of a person, when you express your interest in them, when they express their interest in you, and you talk about who you are, you talk about what you believe, you talk about the things that are important to you, you talk about what you think about God and God's place in your life and your place in God's world, and how you can make a life together, that is an expression, that free speech is needed for that loving relationship to develop. You know, and not to get too far afield here, but isn't that something that the experts tell us with marriages that fall apart, is that people stop expressing themselves completely and honestly? You know, they have problems and they hold back. So that freedom of speech, even in love, is extremely important. So freedom of speech is the essence of all human interaction. No matter what it is, we communicate to each other, we express ourselves, and we need to do so openly, honestly, and clearly. So, what did the Founding Fathers say about freedom? Because here we are, if we look at our nation, you know, we're talking about the value of freedom, of free speech to a free nation. Of course, I mean to the United States of America. That's our country. And we look at the Founding Fathers, the courage that these men and their families had. Now, we know the names of the men, and we know Betsy Ross, and we know she was a patriot. But the women of the time were just as much patriots. They had to fear for their families, not just their husbands going out and standing on a stump and saying, you know, down with the king, we want freedom. The families had to experience that also. So therefore, their lives were caught up in that freedom of speech, even if they didn't have such a out front role. We know that in every home, the husband and the wife, there's a lot of communication back and forth about what goes on and how things should be. So when I look back and then we look at the beginning of our country, and we look at, you know, these men who, most of them had things. They had money. They had a position. They had all of the things that you would strive for thinking that are important in life. These men had it. But what they also had was an idea and a belief in freedom and liberty and a better way than living under the thumb of a king, of someone who made all the decisions for you. You know, here we are on this side of the ocean, and the king's on that side of the ocean, and he's telling us what to do. And this was the germ of an idea of freedom. The people that came here, they struggled, they suffered, and they built these colonies, and they began building this nation, and they took pride in it. This was something that they had sacrificed for, and to be told what to do from across the sea got older and older and older. We all know the story. We all heard it in school. You know, we understand what happened here. But I like to look at the individual people who, not the historical figures we read about in the books, but who these people must have been as human beings. You know, you think about it right now. If there was something going on in your neighborhood, some kind of problem, and you have to go stand up to that idiot neighbor down the street who's a bully and causes lots of problems and seems to always get away with trouble, and you have to confront that person, and you have to do it by yourself, right? That kind of puts you in a very bad position, doesn't it? Now, not Lieutenant Joe, because I have experience with that. But in general, that puts you in a very bad position because now you're fighting power by yourself. So to express yourself there is difficult. In a group, maybe you all go down to that neighbor and tell them, hey, you got to stop doing this till 2 o'clock in the morning every day, or whatever it is. That freedom of expression, when combined with other voices, is a very, very powerful thing. And I think of these men who had so much, really could have had great lives if they just stayed under British rule and followed the rules. You know, give the king what he wants, and, you know, you can't imagine that all of these founding fathers would have to live in tents because they didn't, because they were existing at that time. They had nice homes. They had nice lives. So for them to get together and say, we are going to fight the order of the day. We are going to fight the power. We are going to throw this off for freedom. What an amazing thing for them to do. What a courageous thing to do. Could you do that today? Right? In the face of what goes on today, would you be strong enough to stand up? And I think one of the most powerful things is when you saw that, you know, the famous line from our history, that they pledged their lives, their fortune, their honor in the name of freedom. They were signing their death warrant by signing that Declaration of Independence, by giving those speeches, by going out and saying the things that they said, by expressing their ideas of freedom against the king and against his government. This was not just a simply, you were going to get yelled at or you'd be ostracized. The king's men would come and hang you. They would burn your home. They would take everything you had. This was no simple thing to do just because they believed in freedom. These men and their families were moved by something greater. And the thing that made it go, the motor, the engine of that idea, of course, was their free speech. They stood up and they rallied people to the ideas about freedom, at the possibilities of freedom, what it could mean. And those ideas grew in their heads, and then they grew in their hearts. And as they expressed them through articles, newspapers, you know, there was a time the media was our friend, and the media tried to help bolster freedom and liberty. Unlike what we see today, where the media does not seem to be a friend of the American people. It is partisan, it's very difficult, and we're missing out on a great tool for freedom because they're hurting free speech. But I digress. So if I go back to our founding fathers here, you know, the father of free speech is often referred to as Benjamin Franklin. And Benjamin Franklin once said, freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved. Right? And I think reading these kind of quotes and understanding a lot about our founding fathers helped me to see freedom of speech as the essential element of freedom for humanity. You have to be able to speak up. You have to be able to voice your opinion. Otherwise, you don't have anything there. So, what exactly, you know, for a lot of people, we hear the terms about First Amendment, Second Amendment, you know, as a cop, Fourth Amendment, you know, search and seizure. And you learn those things inside and out because you have to go testify to them. You have to live them. They take on greater meaning. But when you say to people, you know, what's the First Amendment say? They say, oh, freedom of speech. You can say anything you want, but you can't say fire in a movie house. They don't always have a complete understanding. Do we often go back and read the Constitution and our Bill of Rights? Do you ever do that? I've done that. I was amazed. You know, I learned it in school, and then over time, I read it again. And every once in a while, I will pull it out and read it again. So when I'm doing a program like this, I pull up the actual First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition their government for a redress of grievances. That paragraph is so stunning in human time, in human endeavors, because if you take that apart, first thing it's saying is that Congress shall make no law. That's us, the people, telling the people who are in the government, you will not make a law that restricts our religion. I can go practice any religion I want. You will not do it. How many times had that happened before? Hey, king, you're not going to make a law to take, you know, corn out of my cornfield. Hey, king, I don't have to, you know, beg you to go hunt deer. That never happened. That never happened. That's that first line, and each one of the lines here is so powerful. Congress makes no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the exercise thereof. So let's think about that. They cannot establish a religion. They can't say we are a Catholic nation. They can't say we're a Protestant nation. You can't say we're a Jewish nation. You can't proclaim that you are a specific thing, because everyone has the right to express themselves in their religion and their worship of their God, even if they don't have a God and don't want to worship a God. You have that right. And these government was told by us, the people, you cannot make a law establishing a specific religion. Because we know in other parts of the world, they do have specific religions that are the state-sponsored religion. And that can be a problem if you're not a member of that particular denomination. Now, wouldn't that be a problem? So we are telling the people, you're not doing it. Right? Very powerful. Or prohibiting the exercise of religion. Not only can you not establish a religion, you cannot come in now and tell us we can or cannot practice. Right? How many times do we see that in our communist governments around the world? One of the first things they do is ban, persecute, chase down and destroy any and all religious belief. And why is that? Let's take a minute to look at that. What is the expression of religious belief? What is faith when it comes to free speech? Right? So the reason that these communist governments get rid of the expression of free speech when it comes to religion is because the only religion there should be is the state. The state will dictate what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, and you will love the leaders. You will respect and worship the leaders. Whereas religion teaches a much different lesson. In fact, in just about any religion, they call you to question leadership. They call you to question what is right and what is wrong, right? Do you see the power in that? By telling the government you cannot stop us from practicing our religion, therefore the ideas of freedom and liberty and loving your brother and doing the right thing often comes in conflict with what a tyrannical or despotic government wants to do. And that's why they get rid of it. In America, we the people told the government, you're not going down that road. We are going to express ourselves to our God as we see fit, and you cannot stop it. Because it is we the people. Do you see that expression? And how that expression of free speech right there in the face of the government? No. The very First Amendment. All right, so let's continue on here. Let's see. Prohibiting, you will not prohibit free speech, abridging the freedom of speech, or the press. So let's take those two together. Abridging freedom of speech. That means, and the real reason here, my belief is, and my understanding, was that when you spoke up against the king or the despot, your idea that the king or the despot is wrong. Remember the story of the emperor has no clothes? What a great example, where everyone was so afraid of the emperor that he was tricked into believing that this person made him this beautiful suit of clothes that was the most beautiful suit of clothes had ever been worn. And he put it on, and even though he kind of thought that he didn't really see it himself, but he believed that it was there, and he knew everyone would believe because he would tell them to believe. And he had that parade, and people walking, the emperor's not wearing any clothes. And that one little child, the innocence of a child, right? Hey, the emperor's got no clothes on. Right? That is such a great story as it refers to free speech, that when we're young and we hear that story, we talk about, you know, the obviousness of the one little child seeing this truth, you know, a truth. What is a truth but an expression, right? A truth is an expression, and free speech is what embodies that expression. So when we see the emperor had no clothes and someone stands up to say it, and then everyone looks at each other, well, I guess he doesn't have clothes, and then the emperor realizes himself. His power base was damaged by that free speech, by that child standing up and saying, hey, I don't care what everybody's telling me to say. That guy got no clothes on, right? That expression of free speech to say that changed that entire story, and that was the whole idea. Well, what we're saying here in our First Amendment is that the government, you will not abridge our speech when we want to stand up and say you, the government, are wrong. you will not stop us, because that idea, even that one person that has an idea that what they're doing is wrong and stands up and says, hey, government, president, senator, governor, whatever you are, that is wrong. Other people will hear those words, will hear that expression brought about through speech, and say, you know, I think you're right. I don't think the governor has a right to do that to us. I don't think the president should make that rule. And we stand up as one. We stand together as one. And we use our free speech to express our refusal to buckle under. It is such a powerful, powerful tool, free speech. All right, so we're going to finish up here. And it says, they will not make an abridgment of free speech, nor of the press. And this is where the press used to be so important. And it still should be. Unfortunately, we are so politically driven to win, ideologically opposed, that the press no longer serves its purpose. Instead, what press can you believe? What press do you hear that you say, well, I believe that 100% when the press says that? I don't think there's any vehicle left in press, newspapers, magazines, television reporting, where you can say, I believe what they're saying. 100% be sure. Because you don't know, maybe it is a point of view. That is a damage to our free speech. And that is why, my belief, President Trump says they are an enemy of the people. And they get very incensed because they think they're doing the right thing, because they dislike him so much that anything he says is a lie, and therefore we have to hurt him because they think he's so bad. So therefore, lying goes along to help their belief that he's bad, and their job is to stop him. Their job is to report about what goes on. And that is where it's been bastardized. And that's why the media, unfortunately, really is no longer our friend, other than here on America Out Loud, where we're here to give you our opinion and our truth. You take it, you think about it, and come up with your own. Right? My job is not to tell you what to think. It's to offer you some ideas to think about. And you think about them and come to your own. All right, so we're going to leave this here. When we come back, we're going to finish here on the First Amendment. And then I got some other ideas about free speech that in our modern world that we need to take a look at. I'm Lieutenant Joe, and this is a very special free speech edition here on America Out Loud Radio Network.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
All right, my friend, welcome back. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and this is our special edition of Free Speech here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. So we left off, I was going through the First Amendment because I know not everyone reads through it, and I think given some context to it is very important for us, even in our arguments, when we argue with other people, to not really understand all this. And I don't mean no one out there does, that I'm certainly not pompous enough to think I know and you don't. I'm just saying, I like to go through it because you do get a lot of questions from people. All right. So where we left off was they were not going to make abridgment of your personal freedom of speech or your speech against the government or of the press. They couldn't control the press. The government can't control the press, and they're supposed to be free and be a part of keeping freedom alive. Unfortunately, we know they don't do that. Right? Nor can they stop the people to peaceably assemble. See, now every word has meaning. You know, anybody who's listened to me before knows that words have meaning. The reason that people write things a certain way, the reason I coin a certain phrase or write a sentence the way I do or craft a paragraph is to bring out a specific idea. And the same thing with our founding fathers here. So what they put in there when you look at that line, you cannot abridge the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, right, and to petition the government for redress of their grievance. There's something they don't like. They have to have a right to show up at Washington or your town hall or wherever, out in the street, and say, hey, we don't like this. We don't think it's fair. We don't think it's right. We want this fixed. But the word that they put in there, peaceably to assemble, I'm going to think that because these founding fathers were brilliant men, and I think just like if you read the Bible, you know, and you go to any kind of a Bible study, you will see that someone who's very learned, who's very learned in the Bible, they'll read a paragraph and you'll say, oh, I think that means A, B, and C. And then they'll tell you, well, here, let's look at every single word because every word has a specific meaning that changes the context of what they were trying to say. Same thing in this document. When they throw the word in here to peaceably assemble, I think they understood the that there's a reality about humans getting together. While me standing on a soapbox and expressing an idea that something I am angry about that maybe thousands of other people are angry about can bring us all together in that we agree this is great, it can also mush us to do things that are dangerous, like a riot, right? That's why we have laws against inciting a riot. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about here as we talk about this First Amendment. You know, you can't say fire in a movie theater, nor can you incite a riot. But isn't that free speech? Can't I say, I disagree with this government so much, we should tear down the fences and go in there and get the governor? Shouldn't I say that? Couldn't I say that? Okay. But they put the word in there peaceably, is so that they're sending out a signal here saying, yes, if we maintain order, if we maintain ourselves and comport ourselves in a way that we can discuss ideas, not that we let emotions boil over, we knock down the fences and drag the governor out of his house, right? These are human frailties that we know mob mentalities can happen, right? We know if you've ever been out with a crowd and all of a sudden people start to do things and next thing the whole crowd does something, that's how you can go to a team wins a sports championship and the people who are celebrating turn over cars, burn cars, bust windows, do what? Because the crowd takes on a life of its own. That mentality of all of us together, because even though we are sophisticated as we are, as intelligent as we are also base creatures. And sometimes our emotions can get out of control and we can do things. And I think by seeing that word in there, to peaceably assemble, they were sending out a very clear signal. Yes, we must maintain ourselves to maintain our freedom, to maintain our freedom of speech so that it is effective for change or for redress of your grievances. We have to do it peaceably. We cannot let our emotions just boil over and burn down the statehouse. So I think this is really an amazing paragraph that as you dig through it, you see more and more things. You see the state of mind of these people who wrote these things, right? So we can redress our government. We can go out and say that the governor is bad. What we shouldn't say is, let's drag him out and burn the governor's house down, okay? So that's the conflict. You know, coming from law enforcement, the freedom of speech. You know, when I took my oath of office, as any law enforcement or public figure does, you take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States and of the state you're in, right? In every one of our constitutions, somewhere in there is the freedom of speech because it is so elemental to our functioning as human beings in a free society. So we have it in our state constitutions. We have it in our federal constitution. When you look at it as a police officer, and you say, well, if somebody runs into the movie house and screams, there's a fire in here because they want to upset everyone, isn't that their right of free speech? And this is where things can get complicated. This is where intellect has to step in. Now, does it do good for anyone to be in a panic and think that there's a fire in the building where people could die? No, what's going to happen? This is where you see the cross between intellect and emotion in human beings and how it can sometimes cross the line, just like in a riot. You could see what could happen here by the power of words, by the power of speech. You can incite people to things. And that's why in that First Amendment, it says to peaceably, because this is an understanding of human nature. So I run in there just as a joke. Let's see if I can get everybody running and scream, there's a fire, there's a fire, there's a fire. And what happens? People panic. They get up, they start running, they trample each other. they get hurt. Maybe they hurt a child, hurt an older person, hurt themselves because they panicked, because words mean things. Words have power. Speech has such power. So if we use speech only for good, now if there's a fire, somebody should scream, fire, and then we take a chance to get out of the building, right? Wouldn't that be using that kind of speech for good? The other way screaming fire in a movie house is to incite trouble and cause a problem. So that's negative. So if we could say, fantastic, everybody will only use free speech for good, then we wouldn't have to worry about having case law going to the courts to determine if you can scream fire in a movie house. Right? Just like you can't incite a riot. We can go out and say, we are sick of taxes. We hate these taxes. Taxes are not right. They're too high. It's too costly to my family. It's not fair. You spend money on things I don't agree with. On and on and on. We can get a million people in the street all agreeing, all being emotionally involved in this, and chanting, yelling, writing to our congresspeople, demanding they come to the balcony and listen to us. We can do all of that. That's our free speech. We cannot then go to the dark side of free speech and say, now let's go in and yank them all out of their offices and hang them in the courtyard for what they've done to us. See, that's the dark side of free speech. So the rules on free speech are not necessarily about the speech. It's about how the speech is used. And that's a recognition of the power that words have over human beings. Right? You see, so when you connect these together, you see where a good thing the court did that, because you know there are some people out there who are negative and they will use things, they will use any power negatively to hurt people. We talked about the growing influence of socialism in our country, and we can see that the power that words have can move people towards negative things. Now, most of us who are thinking and know historical reality know that socialism, while it sounds great on its face, everyone gets the same, everyone gets good, everyone has the best, everyone shares. We know in real life that's not how it works out because of human nature. Human nature, there's always going to be people who are going to take advantage of the situation. They are going to change the paradigm to their own advantage. And that will be damaging to others. We know that's where socialism goes. People end up searching for toilet paper, people searching for food, waiting in line for a hamburger. We know how these things go. But this movement to socialism in our country today is dangerous in the fact that for that to take hold, we know one of the first things they have to do is shut down our free speech. Because if we have free speech, when these things start to go bad, we can say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. But they can't have power if they don't control our speech. So this line that we have to walk when we see things happening and changing in our country. Historically, we've all been going in the same direction. If you think of this, we're all in boats, right? Republicans, Democrats, whoever we are, right and left people. We're all going down the same river. We're going the same direction. We just have different ways to paddle there, right? And these are our different ideas of how we do things. With socialism, it's on a completely different river going in a different direction. But our freedom of speech is so powerful that people who will use it against us, negative people who will use it against us to take power against us, will use that power of free speech to change the paradigm, to change the argument. Look at our young people. Try and have a conversation with a young person about why socialism isn't good. And they will begin to cite back to you, first of all, well, that's because you have too much. You want to keep it from other people. And socialism is about making sure everyone has the best medicine. Everyone has a good car. This is what they think because this is what they've been fed. Right? This is what people are teaching them. Now, I don't know that people that are teaching them this are doing it for a negative reason. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here and say that they are seeing what they think is a better way, and they're passing on these ideas. A person of experience, like myself, who's lived through many of these experiments, realizes that's not good. That's not the way to go. It's dangerous. But these young people get these ideas in their head. And as they start to take more and more control of the world, because they will, they replace us, just like we replaced the people ahead of us, and our opinions became the prevalent ones, these young people who have these opinions about socialism are going to grow in strength. And when they have an articulate leader who can stand up and use free speech to make their points, speech can be very, very persuasive, right? So you could certainly see how, while we think freedom, the freedom we're used to, the liberty we're used to, the constitutional way we function in our lives, is here forever because it's America, free speech can also be used as a weapon to take that away from us. You know, freedom is a double-edged sword that way. You know, it's often been said by a lot of people that the Constitution is a suicide pact because it gives us so much freedom that we can vote it away. We can vote our rights out. You know, if we have enough people to vote for it, we can vote our rights out and undo everything that freedom and liberty has given us. And this is why we need to look at these kind of things very carefully. To joke around and say that these kids don't understand is one thing, but to realize that that power of free speech that they have, just like all of us have, when you get an articulate leader, as has happened many times, that's how tyranny gets back into place, is that it uses this weapon against us. That's the power of ideas and thoughts, okay? So that's kind of where I wanted to go with that, and it's something to keep in the back of our minds. When we look at our modern times, we look at what has gone on, the power of expression and free speech. And it's not just to say your idea, to run your mouth in the town square. You know, that's one thing. I got something to say. You see people, they stand up at a meeting and they, you know, they just bluster and they want to hear themselves speak. But what about somebody like Mrs. Rosa Parks, who had a lot to lose and sat down on the bus and said no? Now, I don't know where you all stand on those particular times and the civil rights movement, but that was an important movement for our country, for freedom, and that was all led by speech, in her case, speech through expression. She sat down and said no, and that forced the conversation on our entire nation, and it was difficult, it was hard, that people died over words and expressions of ideas, but we came out the other end better for it. You see, so freedom of expression and freedom of speech has that power to go either way. We've got to be aware of it. You know, I think about other examples as we moved along, and probably one of the closest ones to us most recently. If we remember the events of 9/11, and here was a group of people who wanted to do us harm, who wanted to hurt us, and you think about the events of that day on those airplanes, and the power that freedom of speech had in those instances. And I know it's an abstract kind of a thought, but follow me here. So first of all, we had these airplanes, and they had three or four killers on board who snuck on board, got on board before we checked everybody. We know that in most instances, they pulled box cutters. And we know that there was many people on those airplanes, grown men, right? Lots of grown men on those airplanes. And they pulled the box cutters out to take over the plane. Now, normally in those circumstances, okay, a box cutter's not, it's a sharp instrument, can hurt you, no doubt. But if you rush somebody and they're holding a box cutter, you might get cut on the arm, but they're not going to win the battle. You're going to get them. What they did, though, was they used an expression. They grabbed a stewardess, an innocent individual with no means of protecting themselves, and they killed them in front of everyone. They brutalized an innocent person in front of everyone, which has the effect to humans of backing us off. Now you've seen brutality. That's an expression. And that expression backed those people off. And we saw what happened to the planes. The last plane, the plane of Flight 93 over Pennsylvania, those people had the opportunity to talk on the phone to other people. Other people expressed to them what was going on. Hey, listen, this is happening. They're taking these planes. Then those people on the plane had an opportunity to think and talk, to express themselves, to say, hey, listen, we're looking at some very dangerous situation here. What are we going to do? We're going to fight back, right? That expression, that freedom of speech on that plane from hearing what was going on in the world, they made a decision, just like our forefathers fought back against the British. Here's what's going on. We don't want to do this. We want something different in the face of danger. We're going to fight back. Rosa Parks didn't want to sit in the back of that bus anymore, right? So she said no, right? She fought back in the face of danger. Well, the people on Flight 93, they fought back because they had information. They spoke to each other and they took action. Now, we know, unfortunately for those poor souls, it didn't end well for them, but don't each and every one of us revere them for what they did? Don't each and every one of us remember the power power in hearing that that young man stood up and said, hey, let's roll, and they fought back, and they wouldn't let them crash that plane into the White House. Even though they died themselves, they fought back. And they fought back because the ability to express themselves, to say, what do we want to do as a group here? We want to fight back. Freedom of speech is the most important speech freedom power that we have as a people to express ourselves, to express our ideas, to go forward into the future. It is the basis for all the other rights. And I think I've made my case. I think I've made my case here. And let me just say this as I close, and I appreciate you all being here. We know that freedom and liberty is not static. We know that tyranny is always knocking at the door. We know that the future has already been filled with potentials for socialism, and that battle is going to come. And what's going to protect us during that battle, just as it protected us all throughout our history, is the ability to express our ideas and our thoughts. The freedom of speech that we have in this country is our greatest weapon to fighting back from the elements that would take away our freedom and our liberty. It is the greatest weapon in our arsenal. So, happy birthday, America Out Loud. I'm glad everyone is out there. And remember, don't take your freedom of speech for granted. It is the greatest thing we have as a free people. This is Lieutenant Joe saying thank you for being with me, and we'll talk to you next time.